Shalom, Australia. US President Barack Obama was in Israel last week, but it was not in response to the invitation that Prime Minister Netanyahu issued him several days earlier. Obama was among the dozens of dignitaries who attended Friday's funeral of former President Shimon Peres, who passed away on Wednesday, aged 93. Peres is synonymous with the 1993 Oslo Peace Accords, for which he was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize, and his Center for Peace, which promotes dialogue and opportunities for both Israelis and Palestinians. Yet few people in Israel contributed more to the country's military capabilities. Entering the position at age 29, Peres remains the youngest Director General of the Defense Ministry in Israel's history. In the early 1950s, Peres started a relationship with the French government that resulted in the creation of Israel's nuclear arsenal and in the purchase of the fighter jets and bombers to replace the IDF's antiquated World War II-era planes, which would be instrumental in Israel's victory in the 1967 Six-Day War. In the late 1950s, Peres formally entered politics, running with the Mapai Party, a precursor to today's Labour. Following the 1959 elections, Peres was named Deputy Defense Minister, a title he held until 1965. In 1974, he returned to the ministry to lead it under the then prime ministership of Yitzhak Rabin. It was in that position that in 1976, Peres helped plan Operation Thunderbolt, the raid on Entebbe. Peres had earlier this year, at an event with some of the survivors of the incident, "From the moment I heard about the hijacking, I knew that we must do everything possible to free you and bring you back home. Many doubted the ability of the IDF to carry out this mission, fearing that there was no precedent for such an operation, but I knew all along that it was possible. All but three of the 106 hostages survived, and the Israeli rescue force suffered one fatality, Yoni Netanyahu, the operations commander, and Benjamin Netanyahu's brother." In 1993, Peres was one of the group of politicians who signed the Oslo Accords. No one articulated that promise better than he did. He told a watching world at a signing ceremony on the White House lawn, "We live in an ancient land. Our land is small, so must our reconciliation be great. I want to tell the Palestinian delegation that we are sincere. Let all of us turn from bullets to ballots, from guns to shovels. We shall pray with you. We shall offer you our help in making Gaza prosper and Jericho blossom again." When he was given the Nobel Peace Prize for his work on the Oslo Accords, he spoke philosophically about the Israeli military strength, which he did so much to build up, saying simply, "The wars we fought were forced upon us. Thanks to the Israel Defense Forces, we won them all. But we did not win the greatest victory that we aspired to, release from the need to win victories." In a rare honor, President Obama ordered that the U.S. flags be flown at half-mast on Wednesday, as, of course, were flags in Israel. At the funeral, Obama uttered the Hebrew words, "Todah rabah chavei yakar," echoing President Clinton's 1995 Shalom Chaver, farewell to Rabin. Obama added, "Shimon Peres reminds us that the State of Israel, like the United States of America, was not built by cynics. It is that faith, that optimism, that belief, even when all the evidence was to the contrary, that tomorrow can be better, that makes us not just honor Shimon Peres, but love him." President Clinton's tribute included the observation that he started off life at Israel, as Israel's brightest student, became its best teacher, and ended up its biggest dreamer. President Reuven Rivlin's voice cracked on more than one occasion, straining particularly as he called his predecessor the heart of Israel, a heart that loved the people, the land, and the state. Benjamin Netanyahu's eulogy resonated with the internalization that Shimon Peres, the last of Israel's founding fathers, is gone. "I loved you. We all love you." Shimon lived a life of purpose. He soared to incredible heights. He was a great man of Israel. He was a great man of the world. Israel grieves for him, the world grieves for him, but we find hope in his legacy, as does the world. Peres' friend, author Amos Oz, said, "There were two tendencies in him, on the one hand, a deep respect for reality and its constraints, and the other, an impulse to change that reality, and even further, the capacity to change himself. Peace is not only possible, it is necessary, because we are not going anywhere. We have nowhere to go. The Palestinians are also not going anywhere. They have nowhere to go. Where are the brave leaders who will stand up and realize this? Where are Shimon Peres's successors? Peres's three children also each offered moving tributes to their father. Yitzhak Herzog, leader of the opposition and heir to Shimon Peres's political position, accorded to protocol, was not permitted to speak at the funeral. Egyptian Foreign Minister Sameh Shoukry was present, but the absences of Egyptian President Abd Fattah al-Sisi and Jordan's King Abdullah II were notable. PA President Mahmoud Abbas sat in the front row at the funeral ceremony at the National Cemetery on Mount Herzl, along with other dignitaries, including Britain's Prince Charles. He was flanked by European Council President Donald Tusk and Hungarian President Viktor Orban, François Hollande, Tony Blair and Justin Trudeau. Abbas's Fatah party defended the gesture, saying it was a message of peace whose aim was to show the world that the Palestinians are a peace-loving people. After years without meeting, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Abbas shook hands and briefly chatted at the funeral. A senior Palestinian Authority official, Osama Mansour, who is a military liaison with Israel, was arrested at his home in the West Bank city of Nablus a day after he was suspended for criticizing PA Mahmoud Abbas's attendance at Peres's funeral. Knesset member Ayman Odeh, the head of the Joint Arab List Party, defended on Friday evening the unanimous decision of his party's members not to attend the funeral. Odeh said that Peres's funeral was part of a national day of mourning in which I have no place, not in the narrative, not in the symbols that exclude me, not in the stories of Peres as a man who built up Israel's defences. Odeh did extend his condolences to Peres's family and close friends and said he understood that the decision not to participate in the funeral was hurtful to those reasonable forces in Israeli society with whom he says he has built ties. Yesterday, the Arab-Israeli community marked the 16th anniversary of the October 2000 riots, in which 13 members of the community were killed by police during a series of demonstrations across Arab villages. Odeh, who said that one of those killed was his wife's youngest brother, asked, "Can somebody understand our pain, or does that not interest anybody? Will anyone from the government attend these ceremonies?" Peres, he said, did many positive things, but there are things we can't forgive, like the events of 1948, Kfar Qasim, in which 48 civilians from the village were killed by Israeli border police in 1956, and, yes, the October 2000 events. Peres officially apologized for the Kfar Qasim killings in 2007. On Thursday, tens of thousands of Israelis paid tribute to President Peres, filing past his coffin, which laid in state outside the Knesset. The crowds, who were waiting quietly in long lines for their chance for a final farewell, consisted of some who knew him personally, but many more who admired his vision and optimism. Lighting candles and strumming guitars, a few dozen peace activists held a peace circle in memory of former President Peres in Rabin Square on Thursday night. Israeli security forces were on high alert due to the influx of foreign dignitaries, and the King David Hotel was forced to cancel reservations of regular paying guests, all of whom were compensated for the inconvenience. Rosh Hashanah visitors could not take their rooms until yesterday, but management said there were no complaints, saying it may have been Peres's famously affable personality that made them sympathetic to this predicament. In other news, celebrity Rabbi Yoshia Pinto will not be tasting the fruits of freedom this Rosh Hashanah, after a district court on Thursday overturned a parole board decision to release him from jail early on medical grounds. Pinto, who is suffering from cancer, was sentenced to a year in jail and a million shekel fine for bribing a senior police officer who subsequently retired from the force before committing suicide. Hours after his death, the Justice Minister cleared Officer Bracha of any wrongdoing. Another senior officer was forced to resign. Pinto began his sentence at Nitzan prison in Ramleh in February. His lawyers say they will appeal the decision. And all of Israel is preparing right now for Rosh Hashanah the Jewish New Year, which begins tonight. Wishing all SBS listeners a very happy and sweet New Year. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.